It Takes Two with Amy Eiler, J.J. Gordon on the air. And gosh, what's everybody talking about these days? They're talking about school. School. What's going to happen when school is back in session? And everything from what classes are going to look like all the way up to what clubs and activities are going to look like. So we decided, well, it's time to talk to the man who's actually got the plan. Dr. Rupak Gandhi is on the line with us. He's the superintendent of schools for Fargo Public Schools. Welcome back to KFGO, Dr. Gandhi.
My pleasure. Glad to be back.
Well, you've had a very busy summer, no doubt, and it's only getting shorter and shorter. So what can you tell us about going back to school for Fargo Public Schools?
You know, one of the first things I wanted to start off by saying is that, yeah, I've had a busy summer, as we all have, but really the credit goes to all the staff of Fargo Public Schools. I have the unique position and the privilege to be able to talk about all the great works and the plans that they put together, but really everything we do in Fargo Public Schools is a collaborative effort and a result of all of our staff. But what I can tell you is that we have put together a very fluid plan, and everyone thinks that the question always asked is, what is the plan and how are we going back to school? And there really are two different things. Our plan is a compilation of five different plans based on the level of risk that we see with COVID-19. So we've actually designed a plan that's aligned to the state colors for our risk levels. So we have a plan for when our community is in red, when our community is in orange, yellow, green, and blue. And based on a set of criteria that we would use to determine that color is which plan we would execute and which instructional model we would execute. And the plan allows us to change from one color to the next throughout the year based on changing information regarding COVID-19.
Could it change on a day-to-day basis?
No, you know, what we're proposing currently is that we have a committee of a wide variety of stakeholders that includes myself, other associate superintendents, district office administrators, parents, teachers, school board member, and an epidemiologist from a local healthcare agency to meet on a week-to-week basis and determine what the color is. But that doesn't mean that we would have to change the color from one week to the next. I think part of that committee, if that plan is approved, would have to wrestle with the fact that how long would it take to switch from one color to another for a school system, and then what set of data and criteria do we want to use, and, you know, how long of the previous week, previous 14 days, average data do we want to use, and I think they would take all those factors into consideration. So they would meet on a weekly basis, but that doesn't mean that they would change the colors back and forth every week.
Dr. Gandhi, what are you hearing from the community, the parents out there who undoubtedly have a lot of questions? Are you getting the same question over and over again, or are they all over the park?
You know, I think we're getting a little bit of everything. What I'm hearing is a wide variety of views, and that's just the way education is, and there's a human element to everything that we do. So I know that as it regards to almost every aspect of school, you're going to have at least one, two, if not multiple differing thoughts of view. Whether it's on whether kids should wear masks, whether it's on whether we should be back in person, whether it's is our responsibility to eliminate or mitigate any possible transmission, which school districts don't have that ability to guarantee that, or is our ability to just make sure that we're providing education and run with the risks. I think I hear a wide variety of feedback. So what we did is we had three parent input sessions yesterday with participants, over 1,000 different parents that participated, and we gave them opportunities to give us feedback on each different component of our plan. And today we are going and sifting through all of that feedback, categorizing it and saying, okay, what applies, what doesn't apply, and then adjusting our plan accordingly. And we did the same process with our staff, and we had over 800 staff members participate last week. So it's a very collaborative plan, and we know that you're not always going to be able to incorporate everyone's opinion, but we did take some feedback throughout the way and make sure that are we headed in the right direction. And for every component of our plan, we had over 75% of the population agree that, hey, we're headed in the right direction as Fargo Public Schools. Now it's a matter of tweaking, refining, and adjusting as we move forward.
Do you know how many parents will not have their kids return to school this fall? Do you have an idea?
I don't have a guarantee. We did a preliminary survey. And when we did the survey, that was prior to sharing any aspect of our plan. So parents were making a decision only based on what they knew, not knowing what preventative measures that we would have in place. And in that plan, you know, I mean, in that survey, we had said, we'd asked questions about whether today was the first day of school, would you prefer, or if there was an online learning option, is that something you would take? And, you know, rough estimates say that we'd have 20% of students that would prefer just an online option only. And that is something that we are planning on providing this year. We, Fargo Public Schools intends to offer two schools running at the same time. One is a virtual academy that students and families can opt into, and we would ask that they opt into it for at least one semester at a time, and that would be running independent of whatever we do with our in-person instruction at the school buildings.
All right, Dr. Gandhi, let's talk about all those other things that make school that that community place. What about activities, things like sports or drama club?
Great question. So student activities get a little bit more complex because there's going to be some decisions that we need to make as a school district, and then some student activities are also governed by the North Dakota High School Activities Association for the high school sports. What we are currently proposing in our plan is that based on what risk level that we are in Fargo Public Schools, our student activities would follow suit. So if we're in the most severe colors, which would be red or orange, where we're completely distance learning online, we would have no student activities. If we are in yellow, which would be a hybrid learning opportunity for our elementary students, and what we're currently looking at is a secondary distance learning for most of our secondary students, we would maybe do practice and workouts only, but no competitions. If we're in green, which would be all students are back in school, but we have a lot of preventative measures in place, we would have student activities, but maybe we'd limit audiences at competitions and limit some travel. And then when we're blue, which would be our new normal, we would have student activities run as they always have. That's the current proposal. Like I said, we're working through feedback. We're waiting on guidance from that sports specific from the High School Activities Association, so we might make changes to that, but that's currently what we're proposing at this time.
What about the teachers and the administration and the faculty who are all working inside the schools? Have you had conversations with them about concerns that they have?
Absolutely, and their safety is paramount. I think as we develop our plan, the safety of our staff and our students is the number one guiding principle that we utilize, and we're working very closely with our Fargo Education Association, which represents our teachers and a lot of our support staff throughout the district, and then just providing multiple opportunities with our teacher leaders, with our support staff leaders, to meet with us and be part of this plan, so we're working together. And even within our own staff, you're going to have disagreements on what's best and what's not, and to be totally honest, a lot of things are going to look good on paper, and then when we start implementing things, we might have to make changes as we go, too. That's just the nature of making sure that we have a plan that's fluid and nimble, but it is not a Fargo Public Schools administrative plan. It is not a superintendent's plan. It is a collaborative plan, and our staff have been part of that process, and honestly, they're the ones that made our plan so great because they have some of the most phenomenal ideas that even myself, I wouldn't have probably thought through. So just extremely grateful for their collaboration.
Do you see the first couple weeks or maybe even the first quarter of school being very fluid in the idea that, you know, gosh, we don't know how the first day of school is going to go? I mean, I imagine that there's a possibility that you have some staff that won't end up returning. There are students who won't end up returning. There are people who are going to have different questions. And so do you see that being that first quarter kind of being fluid and plans, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? Being flexible to let that change. I mean, you've got your color system, but there's so much more that goes into that that can change just in the blink of an eye, as we've learned every day since COVID started.
I anticipate the entire year being very fluid, and I think that's just something that we have to be prepared for. We can't guarantee or predict who and when there might be a positive case in our schools, whether it's a student, whether it's a staff member. Is that going to lead to an outbreak? Is that a part of community spread? Is all of those factors are just factors that are outside our locus of control, and we have to be prepared to deal with that. And that might require students or a staff or a group of students or a group of staff to self-isolate. It might require us to close one building and not close the district. Those are all pieces to the puzzle, and I think that we need to know that's going to be a very fluid process. What we can do is put in protocols in place of what do we do? How do we respond when this happens? And that's what we're working with in consultation with CAS Public Health to put together right now.
We understand as of yesterday that you may be open later than planned.
Yeah, the plan is still in draft and it would have to be approved by our school board. But one of the things that we're currently proposing in our plan as of now is to open the school year late. It's to start school on September 8th versus August 27th. And the reason for that really is threefold. Traditionally, at the start of school, we provide 3 days of professional development for our teachers. So this year it would have been August 24th, 25th, and 26th, and we'd start school on August 27th. Those 3 days on any given school year, when you're not talking about global pandemic and having multiple instructional models that you're preparing for, are already tight because teachers are working on their own professional development. They're preparing for their lessons. They're preparing their classrooms. All of our staff are getting ready to welcome over 11,000 students with the start of school. Now, this year, we're asking them to do that, to use that same time and get ready for potentially being in hybrid, potentially being distance learning, having all of these stressors going on with global pandemic, preparing students to come back after they were in distance learning, preparing to make sure that we have all these preventative measures in place. I think we need that time to, A, provide professional development to all of our staff. But then secondly is if we are in yellow, which would be our hybrid model for elementary students, but distance learning for our 6th through 12th graders, one of the privileges that we don't have if we start the school year online for 6th to 12th grade students is they don't have the ability to build relationships with their teachers. And it's really hard to start the school year online when you haven't met your teacher and you haven't interacted with them and set norms. So what we would do is instead of starting the school year on the 27th, we would start on September 8th, but we would use those 2 weeks to bring in students and families in small groups, especially in 6th or 12th grade, but across our entire system, actually, to build relationships with teachers and make sure that you've established norms. So when we start online instruction on September 8th, it's with a familiar person and you know what the expectations are. And then lastly is that we're developing this plan and our plan requires a lot of supplies and resources to be executed fully. And we want to make sure that we're fully prepared. One of the things that we're doing in Fargo Public Schools is that we're going to make sure that all of our students have their own personal learning devices, which we didn't have last year for our elementary students. So we've purchased iPads for all of our students from pre-K through second and Chromebooks for our students third grade through fifth. But when we look as a large employer and a large system ordering these materials, just because of delays in shipment, we know that we're not going to get our Chromebooks until September 9th. That's just one aspect. We have to order PPE. We have to order preventative sanitizers, all of these other things. And we're competing against other large businesses, other large organizations, school systems. And we want to make sure that we've received all the tools that we need to be able to fully execute our plan. So for those reasons that we are proposing that we start the school year on September 8th versus August 27th.
Dr. Rupak Gandhi, superintendent of Fargo Public Schools, I don't think any of us envy the position that you're in right now. So we thank you for the hard work and for your open communication with the community and us about where we're at in this planning for the upcoming school year. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me, and I love what I do, so I'm grateful to be here.
Love it. I can hear the smile in his voice.